Amen. Amen. All right. So relativism versus absolute truth. We're going to look at this in three parts, maybe four, depending on how much time I have left. I know you guys might be a little hungry, but if we go long, you'll have to cut your lunch short. Okay? We'll look at this and yeah, that's not, people aren't jumping for joy off of that note. But first of all, we'll see the claims of Christ. Secondly, the trilemma of decision. Thirdly, accepting the claims of Christ. And then fourthly, I have a little addendum for the believer. And I got this addendum actually yesterday. Yesterday afternoon, I had the opportunity to spend some time with Pastor Paul Smith. If you don't know Paul is Pastor Chuck's younger brother by a couple of years. He was in San Antonio, and he invited some of the pastors to come, and he shared with us there for a couple of hours, really, and it was almost like a little small conference on absolute truth. He spoke about the truth, and speaking about DNA, which was interesting, he said that even our very decisions affect our DNA structure. And as soon as Adam sinned, it affected our DNA. And since that time, our DNA has gotten progressively worse. And that's just a little side note about DNA from Dave's talk. And about ligers, I was in Novosibirsk, Russia, this past fall. And in their zoo, they have ligers. You can actually go check out. But anyway, another side note. As I was studying for this topic, I was really going to get into the whole relativism and absolute truth deal. But I came upon a study done by Barna a couple of years ago. And in that study, he asked Christians the question, is Jesus Christ the only way to heaven? And out of that study, 70% of Christians in America believed that Jesus was not the only way, that there were another way. So if we would take this, his study and apply it to us today, that means that 7 out of 10 of us, which I hope isn't true, believe that Jesus isn't the only way, that there are other ways. And the absolute truth is, we know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There's only one way. It's Christ and Christ alone. It's not Christ plus something, but it is solely Christ and Christ alone. So what does that have to do with absolute truth? Well, Jesus Christ made claims about His life, about His person, about who He is. And so let's look at absolute truth, the claims of Christ. And what is absolute truth anyway? Absolute truth is this. It means that whatever is true at one time and one place is true at all times and at all places. And it's true not only for one person, but for all people. That is absolute truth. Relative truth, on the other hand, is something that's true maybe at one time and one place, but not true to all people. And it changes. So it's not really truth at all. But absolute truth, true for all people at all times. And Jesus Christ said this about Himself. The claims of Christ, and there are numerous. I'm going to quote or give you many different scriptures just to give you a basis for your faith, for you to know who Christ claimed to be. Who did Jesus claim to be? And who did He claim, or what claim did He make about His character? First of all, Jesus claimed to live a sinless life. In John chapter 8, verses 28 through 29, He said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know who I am, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases Him." He always did what pleases Him. In John 8, 46 to 47, Jesus said, "Can you prove me guilty of sin?" If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason he does not hear is that you do not belong to God. No one could prove guilty of sin, Jesus guilty of sin. Jesus Christ is the only human. And remember, Jesus is both fully human and fully God at the same time. He's the only human who has never sinned. He lived a sinless life. Jesus Christ, secondly, claimed to be the only way to God. John 14:6, maybe the text for our study today, Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. There is no other way. In Matthew 11:27, Jesus said, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So Jesus Christ was very exclusive. He said, I'm the only way. He didn't leave us a little bit of room. He didn't say, it's me, and you know, there are some other guys out there that you can believe in and get to heaven. Or he didn't say, it's me plus your good works. Or it's me plus, doing, not only doing good things, but being good. He said, it's him. It's through him and through him alone that you go to the Father, that you get to heaven. He was the only one who made this claim. Jesus claimed also to share the glory of God in heaven. In John chapter 17, he said, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. So before even the world existed, Jesus was with the Father. Glorify me, he said. One thing that the Jews kind of freaked out about Jesus Christ is that Jesus claimed to forgive sins. And by doing that, in essence, he was telling them that he was God, because only God can forgive sin. In Luke chapter 5, verses 20 to 21, it reads, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus said, I can forgive sin. In fact, in Luke chapter 7, verses 48 to 49, it reads, then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgive sins? So we look at his claims, claiming to be equal with God, claiming to be able to forgive sins. He claimed to be a king, a heavenly king. In Luke 22, verse 69, but from now on, Jesus said, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of mighty God. And then in Luke 23, 1 through 3, Jesus said, then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ, the king. So Pilate asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Yes, it is as you said, Jesus replied. Jesus said that he was a king. In fact, in John 18:36-37, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying, I am a king. In fact, for this reason, I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Not only did he claim to be a king, but Jesus claimed to be able to give eternal life, an everlasting life. In John 6, verse 40, he said, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. In John 6:47, I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. And then in John 11:25, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. He who believes in me, Jesus said, in me alone. Jesus was telling us that he's the only one. He's the only way. The path to heaven is narrow. It goes through Jesus Christ. There are no other ways to get there. We can't be good enough. We can't do enough good things. We can't be religious enough. And I realize when we get down to the personal level here that we may have family members and friends that we love who believe differently, who maybe who are following a religion or a philosophy, and in and of themselves we may look at them and say, you know what, they're good people. But there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that's the truth. And if we want to adequately present the truth, Jesus is the only answer that we have. We have the truth as Christians. And we need to give people the truth. We don't want to become relative in our thinking. Just because we want to be nice or we want to think, well, maybe there's another way. No, that's relativism. The absolute truth is that Jesus was very narrow. I remember my pastor, Skip Heisek, said, my brain is closed. It's closed to anything except the truth. I don't want to believe a lie. I want to live my life based on the truth. Jesus Christ also claimed that he would die and come back to life. I'm going to die, he said, I'm going to come back to life. John 10:17. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Jesus Christ laid down his life. He said he's going to come back again in John 16:16. In a little while you will see me no more. And then after a little while you will see me. I'm going to die. I'm going to come back again. That's an incredible statement that he made. He claimed that he would return again to judge the world. In Matthew 24:27-30. So as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man. At that time, the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And again in Mark 14:61-62, again the high priest asks, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. And in Matthew 25:31-32, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. Christ is coming back. He's coming to judge the world, and Jesus Christ claimed finally that he was the absolute truth. I am John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. In John 18:37-38, Pilate said to him, are you a king? Jesus answered, you rightly said that I am king. For this cause I was born. For this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And then this is that little saying that Dave said that people actually say. Pilate said to him, what is truth? What is truth? Jesus was asked, what is truth? And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no fault in him at all. Jesus said, I am the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. What is truth? truth is Jesus Christ. We have the absolute truth. The absolute truth is the person of Christ and the Word of Christ. The Word of God is the absolute truth. Jesus is the Word. The Word is the truth. Jesus claimed to be both God and Messiah. In John 8:58, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Always been. He wasn't created. Jesus Christ is God and the Messiah. So we have some incredible claims by Jesus Christ that He's the only way to go to heaven, that He's God. So what does a person do with these claims? And this is what takes us to the trilemma of decision. And you've heard this argument before. And it's something that we can certainly use. And the trilemma of decision is this. Jesus was either a liar, right? He was a lunatic, or what he said was actually the truth, which makes him Lord. So he is either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. But he wasn't just a good moral teacher. He wasn't just a nice guy who came upon the scene and changed the world. Jesus Christ was either a liar, or he was crazy, a lunatic, or he was who he said he was, God in human flesh, who came to save the world, who gives us the only way to go to heaven. So let's say, well, what if we say that Jesus was a liar? I mean, is that an option? Could Christ have just lied? Could he have been deceiving people when he walked the earth? You know, and I've heard people say before, "I'm Jesus." I was in Albuquerque, I remember, and this guy comes to church and he comes up to me and Pastor Skip were speaking, and he says, "Hey guys, I'm Jesus Christ," he tells us. And you're looking at the dude, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm Jesus Christ." And Pastor Skip asked him, "Well, where were you born?" And the guy said, "Oh, I was born in Springfield, Illinois." He goes, "You're not Jesus. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. You're not Jesus." He went, "Oh, obviously he wasn't Jesus, right?" So people can claim to be whoever they want to be. I mean, was Jesus telling the truth? Or was he lying to us? Was he making all this thing up? But was he, you know, just fooling us? And you've seen or you've known deceitful people. And it, as we look at his life, at what Jesus said, at the effect of his life on the world today, we believe that Jesus was absolutely telling the truth. He could not claim to be a good man and lie at the same time if he wasn't telling the truth. Jesus wanted people to follow him, to believe in him, to reveal to the world that he was the absolute truth. He lived and he taught who he was. The best way then to discern between the lie and the truth is to look at a person's life. Look at their life. See if what they believe in actually lines up with who they say they are. In other words, does their, in a couple of terms here, does their orthopraxy, does it line up with their orthodoxy? Are they orthodox in their belief? Because right belief leads to right living. Right belief leads to right living. Orthodox is right belief. Orthoproxy is that right practice. But the only way that we're going to become, or the only way that we can look at Jesus' life and see if he was telling the truth, is that did he do what he said he was going to do? Was he truly God? Did things occur in his life that would give us evidence that he wasn't lying, but he was in fact telling the truth? And as we look at the miracles of Jesus Christ and what Jesus did, we can absolutely say that he was telling the truth. That when He would heal people, when He would calm the storm, when He would do all these miraculous things, He was doing them because He was God. And He could back up who He said He was. So His life verified His claims of Christ. So we don't believe He was a liar. But was He crazy then? Was he just like that guy who walked into Calvary Albuquerque and said, "I'm Jesus"? I had a friend here in San Antonio tell me that he was Jesus. I was meeting with him. I went to his house and, you know, trying to minister to the guy. And I could tell the guy wasn't right at this point in time. And he said, "I'm Jesus." I'll use a synonym, you know, a false name for him. We'll call him Chris. He said, "Chris has died. Jesus is alive now. I'm Jesus." And he looks at me and he tells me, "And you better get out of my house." And I tell you, I got out of the house because I thought this guy's going to kill me. I mean, he's just going to take a knife and throw it in me or something. I'm like, man, he's crazy, right? I knew he wasn't Jesus. I knew him, you know, this is you. You're not Jesus. But could the same be said of Jesus Christ? Could he be a liar? Could he have been, you know, not telling us the truth? Not only was he crazy, but maybe he was a liar at the same time. He just did not tell us the truth. Was he lying to us? I believe Jesus was telling the truth. Now, was he crazy like this guy? Like my buddy here, who momentarily was crazy. He's on medication now. That's a whole nother deal. We won't get into medication in the Christian here. I've spoken with Bungie about it, and that's a whole nother story. But was Jesus Christ then, was he a lunatic? Was he telling us something that he actually believed he was, you know, a God and the Savior, but he couldn't back up what he believed? But that's not the truth. As we look at Scripture again, and as we seek the authenticity of his miracles and of his life, we find that Jesus Christ was not crazy. In fact, there's a psychiatrist who said this, and he says, his name is Jay Fisher, and he said, for nearly 2,000 years, the Christian world has been holding in its hands the complete answer to its restless and fruitless yearnings. Here rests the blueprint for successful human life with optimism, mental health, and contentment. And it's found in the Word of God. It's found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. How many people have you known have been crazy before, so to speak, come to know Christ, and their life is completely changed? Because that's what Christ does. So the only option we have left is, was Jesus telling the truth? Is He the only way to heaven? Is He who He said He is, the Son of God? God Himself, is He the way, the truth, and the life? We only have so many choices we can make on this. And as we take people to Scripture and reveal to them the truth of who Jesus is, we can leave them with that choice. The choice is them, that they can either receive the truth and believe that Jesus is Lord and then thus receive Jesus Christ, or they can deny it. And you can say, "No, I just think Jesus was just a good man." But Jesus never left us that option. He didn't say He was just a good man. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm a king. I'm the one that you must believe in to get to heaven. So the evidence is clearly in favor of Jesus Christ. And we can ask people, is Jesus a liar, a lunatic, or is He Lord? And if He's Lord, why don't you receive Him into your life? Now, speaking about accepting the claims of Christ, What does Christ do once you receive him into your life? Well, he transforms your life, doesn't he? We've all heard of people. And ourselves, our lives have been transformed. How about C.S. Lewis himself, who came up with this, you know, this trilemma of decision here. He denied Jesus Christ, the deity of Christ. He was an agnostic. He said, no, you know, Christ isn't right. And his buddy, J.R.R. Tolkien, said, no. You know, I want to show you the way. I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. And ultimately, after examining it himself, C.S. Lewis became a believer. Because he looked at the truth. And he found the truth. In modern days, we have Josh McDowell, who himself was a skeptic. And for a couple of years, he investigated the truths of Jesus Christ. And he came up with the conclusion that Christ was telling the truth. How about Lee Strobel? He wrote The Case for Christ and other writings, right? Same thing, a lawyer working for a national newspaper, and he investigated Christ. And he said, ultimately, you look at the evidence of who Christ says he is, and overwhelmingly, you have to believe that it's true. Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's not just a good man. He wasn't just a legend. But Jesus Christ is who he said he was. There's freedom in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Before I became a Christian, my life was wrapped up in sin. And specifically, one sin was the sin of alcoholism. I wasn't sick. I was a sinner. And once I received Christ, He unwrapped me from that sin. And He took it away because He transformed my life. You see, I came to know the truth, and the truth set me free. John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Those people that, if you go out witnessing today, that don't know the truth, inside each of them, God has created a place in their heart that only Jesus Christ can fill. The truth is that they have a great need in their life. They're hurting. They're without hope. They're without purpose. They're without direction. And anyone who doesn't know Christ is in that place. As well as they may seem on the outside, that's their heart on the inside. And they're crying out for somebody, I believe, to come and to tell them the truth. They've been looking for it in all the wrong places. Maybe in intellectualism or whatever it may be. But ultimately, they're trying to fulfill that place in their heart that only Jesus Christ can fill. And we have the opportunity to take that truth to them, to reveal who Jesus Christ is and who the person of Christ is, and that He wants to be Lord of their life, and that He wants to set them free from the law of sin and death and give them eternal life as He's given us eternal life. The road to heaven is very narrow. It's very exclusive. Only those who place their trust in Jesus Christ get to go. And I know we have friends and family who maybe don't know Christ as well, who are believing in maybe Christ plus good works or believing in something else. And maybe you've been praying for them. You've been asking and interceding for them. You've been speaking to them because you want them to go to heaven with you. I know I do. I want all my family and friends to go to heaven. And I tell you, if the Lord said, came up with the rule and said, you know what, if you give me $1 million, I'll let them in, I'd give him $1 million if I had it. Wouldn't you? A person's soul is worth everything that I have. But they have to make the decision. We have the truth. His name is Jesus. Make no bones about it. We have the absolute truth. We're not going out there with no ammo in the gun, so to speak. We're going out there full of God's truth and full of His Word, full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will be able to transform these people's lives. People are hurting. And they need Jesus, just as I was before I came to know the Lord. And just as many of you were. We have the opportunity. Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's the absolute truth. Now I do have a few minutes here for an addendum for the believer. I wasn't certain if I was going to get here, but in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 through chapter 4, verse 4, it reads this, and this is where we find our society today. It says, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing that whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, and with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." We have the truth. We have the Word of God. And yesterday, as I was speaking with Pastor Paul Smith, he mentioned the 5 points of fundamentalism. If you've never heard that term before, the Presbyterian General Assembly in 1910 came up with these 5 points, and it became later to be known as the 5 points of fundamentalism in the 20s. And the early church, or the church in the 20th century, we are fundamentalists. This is who we are. Calvary Chapel is a fundamentalist church. And when Pastor Bungie comes up and speaks on the emergent church is going away from the fundamental truth of God's Word. The 5 fundamentals are: 1, the inerrancy of Scripture. The inerrancy of Scripture. God's Word without error. 2, the virgin birth of Christ. So we have the inerrancy of Scripture, the virgin birth of Christ. 3, Christ's substitutionary atonement. His death atoned for our sin. 4, Christ's bodily resurrection. The same way He went up, He's going to come back. Visibly and physically. Okay, He didn't show up in 1917 and He's here as a spirit. Okay, that whole thing, not true. And 5, the authenticity of Christ's miracles. And I say this, I don't want to put anyone down, but you can speak, or maybe I'll name some names, but Rick Warren has said that he's not a fundamentalist. And maybe you've read his book. And he holds these conferences, and he's talking about all these people coming to his conferences, Catholics and Episcopalians and all these people, and look at it. Isn't it kind of cool? No, what it's become is it's become relative. It's relativism. You're trying to incorporate everybody's beliefs under one umbrella. But Jesus said, "I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. It's me and me alone." And I pray that we would not lose the truth. And that was Pastor Paul Smith. That was his word to us. We told him, if CCOF, which is the overseer for all the Calvary Chapel fellowships, if it has a word to us, what's the word? And the word is stay true to the Word of God. Don't depart from His Word. Don't come up with other fancy ideas or fancy theologies or whatever. Stay true to God and to His Word. You build your life on the truth. And when the times get tough, you'll be able to stand on the rock. That's the ultimate truth, because we have the rock. We don't need to believe like 70% of Christians believe that, you know, there's other ways to get to heaven. We have the truth, and it's in Jesus Christ. And that's who we present when we go out today and tell people about the truth. We're presenting the only way, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we pray.